This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to be reading just the first 7 verses here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. This is God's word. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field, where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he had not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. For he did not put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David, notice, without a cause? Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. We're going to call this Saul's desire to kill David. Now, this is kind of interesting. First off, we see something about the character of Saul that we should have already identified in all of our readings as this portion of Samuel. We're now in the 19th chapter, okay? And we've been looking at Saul for a little bit of time. And the fact that Saul was a great vacillator. Saul was an individual that could change his decisions like good old-fashioned Kansas weather. Notice verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son. So the king simply opens up, probably in confidence, to his boy, and then to his servants, that they, notice, they should kill David. Notice, Saul doesn't want to get his hands dirty, so he's going to ping this murder on someone else. Now, we're not told, but maybe there was a pretty good reward there in the local post office. Wanted, dead. David, a picture of David, and maybe underneath so much gold or silver to be that person's ample reward. Okay? So, what do we do with this information? What do we do? Well, Jonathan, we've already seen that Jonathan and David have entered into a relationship, beloved, that is closer than a brother, sticks much closer than a brother. These two guys were like as if they were born together as twins in the same womb at the same time, knit together, all right? And there was nothing here of a incestuous, filthy relationship as some people try to make it out to be. There are people who have such relationships of this nature, and there's nothing lewd, nothing filthy, and nothing that occurs behind a closed door in some hotel room. So let's kind of get over that, okay, within our thinking. Jonathan's son, on the other hand, since, notice, he delights so much in David, he wasn't going to simply sit back and do nothing. He goes to David and he tells David, "My father," verse 2, "he seeks to kill you. He seeks to simply eradicate you from off the globe." And so Jonathan gives him a plan. Okay? "In the morning, I'm going to go to a certain place with my daddy, and I'm going to talk about you, and I want you to be off in some distance, and you wait until I come to you with what I find. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field," verse 3, "where thou art." So David's there. Now, whether David could hear this conversation, I doubt it. But David was in such a place where he could probably see the two men talking. "And I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that would I tell thee." So that tells me that David was not close enough to hear the conversation, but he was close enough to see the two men apparently conversing. Now, verses 4 and 5, watch. "Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father." So notice that Jonathan was not a backstabber. He doesn't tell David one thing, one plan, but then Jonathan has a more alternative plan to make David look bad or to aggravate his father's hate and anger and malice. Jonathan steps out on a limb, and knowing his father's hate and envy and his murderous design, gambles and talks good. King Saul at that point could have gone off like a rocket, take a sword, and maybe he would have killed Jonathan right on the spot. "Who are you to go against me, the king? Don't you realize that you're next in line, that the crown will go from my head to your head, and David is now a would-be contender to the throne and to your crown, dear son?" So notice Jonathan's character. He was truly a friend. This is someone that you want to be in the same cell before you're executed for being a Christian. This is the man that you want to be in the foxhole with. This man has your back. Not with a knife, but he has your back. "Let not the king sin against his servant." So notice Jonathan is telling his papa, "What you're thinking is sin." Now at that point, the king could have gone off like a Roman candle. "Who are you to accuse me of sin? I'm the king." "Because he," David, "had not sinned against thee." Remember, Saul's envy and jealousy is not based on anything that David did maliciously to the king. We are told in previous readings, David went in and out and did everything according to the king's wishes, even killing 200 Philistines and bringing back 200 foreskins for somebody to count. And he did everything wisely, in the open, above board, nothing behind a closed door. "Against thee, and because his works have been to thee, thee would, very good." So I think Jonathan here, if we've been careful with our reading so far, Jonathan is right on the money, right on the target with everything said about David as David is presented in the narrative up until this point. Jonathan gives a honest, fair, and factual report. "For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine." David did put his own life on the line. "And the Lord wrought a great salvation, a great deliverance for all Israel. Thou sawest," number one, daddy, you saw the victory. "You did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against," notice this, "innocent blood?" Notice how Jonathan continually brings the character of David to the table. doesn't even mention David's popularity and fame with the local yokels. David's character. Hold your place, turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Let's see here. Is this the verse I want? Yes. I'm going to read the final part of verse 5. You look at Matthew 27. Okay. And didst rejoice, wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Verse 4, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Isn't it amazing that Saul was about, if someone did kill David, it would have been the murder of an innocent man. Judas says in the end, before he hangs himself, I have betrayed innocent blood. But the thing I wanted to catch was the greater David says of himself on other occasions, they hate me without a cause. The lesser David pointing to the greater David, who also said to his disciples, they hate me without a cause. Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. So, for now, the pressure, the steam that was building up in Saul has been released. As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. There he took the name of the Lord in vain. Because Saul's going to flip right back in his inconsistencies and his vacillation, and go right back to hunting David down. So on this occasion, Saul really didn't mean it, because he does go back, and he does put a bullseye, and he does put a price on David's head. That's a case of using God's name in vain. So, verse 7, as we close, Jonathan calls David, probably in the field, tells him everything that goes on, and then notice, Jonathan, now, you talk about a brave man and a man who truly delighted in David. He brings David back into Saul's presence, like in former times, as if nothing has happened. Have you been there before? You got your enemies, and then lo and behold, they want to make up and be buddy, chummy, chummy, and they act as if in the past never occurred. So I think, as you can see here, there's basically a undertow of a truce. You got to admit, nothing's really been resolved here. It's just been put on the back burner. The volcano has simply gone back to sleep until Saul explodes eventually in the days ahead. Well, once again, may God's word be blessed.